Morning Show with Peaches and DJ Mota.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Dumb, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy Roots Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker? I'ma hit when you're home.
I'ma miss it when you're gone. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
Yeah.
Hey, Peaches.
We got Peaches on the phone again.
Again.
How you doing today?
Because I'm out here thugging.
Fake Monday morning in Dallas.
To feed y'all and stuff. That's what we're going to tell people.
Peaches is in Dallas.
She's in D-Town.
Stop telling my business.
They don't care.
It's okay. By the time they hear this, you'll be in Houston.
No, they're hearing it right now because it's fake Monday mornings.
Of course, hashtag fake Monday mornings.
We have another great episode for you today. We have Rob Gillette.
Gillette.
He just told Gillette. You how to say his name.
Gillette. How do you say it?
No, wait, what?
Gillette. Gullet.
Gillette.
Gillette.
Gillette. Like Gillette, but Gillette.
There's no I. It's not Gilmore. It's Gull. It's G-U-L.
But it's like Gullet.
Gullet.
But you weren't even saying that. You were saying
Gulat.
Like,
I was saying Gulat. Yeah. Rob Gulat.
It's not an O.
But that's how I remember. It's like Gillette.
Okay. Gillette. Okay, I get it now. Like, we have him. We're going to be talking to him about his old rap name, which is Critical. We're going to talk about how Paula Deen's a racist, apparently. I didn't know, but she is. And some other stuff. Make sure y'all rate, review, and subscribe to the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We're getting bigger and bigger each week. Go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. If you want to hear the alternative link or direct link, go to bradgilmore.podbean.com. And if you go on there through your iPhone, you can actually hit the Save to Home Screen button to get the BG Show app. And make sure on any social media you do to hashtag BG Show. Follow us on Twitter at Brad Gilmore Show, at Brad Gilmore,
at
DJ Motai,
at
Tata La Peaches with a Z, and on Instagram, which our Instagrams are all the same, and follow the BG Show Instagram at BG Show.
Oh, man.
Don't follow that. Brad posts too many pictures and do too many hashtags. You don't get mad.
I'll do a lot of hashtags for promo purposes. But, so anyway, we're just gonna cut this intro short. You want to say anything, Peaches, before we get into the show?
You just said that the last three intros, so stop saying that we're gonna cut the intro short and just wrap the intro up.
This was a short intro, though. Peaches, this was a short intro.
I'm tired of your ass, Peaches.
Hey, you know what? Your Asian kids, don't be yelling at me because I ain't there.
Peaches, I just want to let you know, though, we actually have like a big speaker box sitting in between me and Tyler, which is where your voice is coming out. And so it's actually like you were here. If this ever happens again, I'm going to dress it up and give it braids.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
Make sure y'all check out Ask Peaches tomorrow, Dan.
That is so wretched, man. Because I feel like you would take a picture of it and then be like, look.
Yeah, I know. I was going to take a picture with the box and when Rob was here, and I forgot to take a picture.
Whatever. I just want to shout out everybody that actually listened to the show and came up and said something about it. Appreciate y'all listening.
Really, we really do. You know, we have thousands of streams already of the show, which is great. You know, we're building this from the ground up. You know, we're on our own. We're indie in this stuff, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're about ready for DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix.
Monday Morning Music Mix.
Fuck DJ Motai Monday Morning Music Mix. That's why it's a tongue twister. And you can't even say it that fast. Say it three times real fast.
DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix. 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 DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix.
Get your alliteration cell phone. He can't say it that three times.
You saying I can't say it?
Oh.
You're probably right.
Well, everybody, it's a bright and shiny, I'm guessing, 8 a.m. morning here in Houston, Texas, and around the world.
What if it's raining on Monday? Damn.
That's what I said. I'm guessing. I'm completely guessing. Hashtag fake Monday mornings if you're listening to the show on Monday morning. Or if you're listening to it on Tuesday morning. I don't know.
Because
I don't know what that
why
means.
It's still a fake. Whenever you listen to it, unless it's a real Monday morning, it's a fake Monday morning.
So hashtag.
Right now, it's a fake Wednesday right now.
Yeah, completely. So, look, so we're gonna
we 2 days twice removed.
So we're gonna each go. Way. We're gonna go into the to the DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix here on the Brad Gilmore Show.
Did you just want to say that again?
Yes.
Or.
Yes, I did.
Okay, how many more times
are
you
going to
say
it? On demand!
Bring a couple cars, though. Yeah, them bagels. Yeah, yeah. I'm too deep, blowing two sweets with a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak. I'm too deep, blowing two sweets with a new freak. With a new freak. With a new freak. With a new freak. Yeah. With a new freak.
She said she got a pass. Yeah. I barely know her, I already smashed. I wasn't gon' call her, but she caught me talking about some grass. And could I find it? She was smoking if I'm down to match. Didn't talk about no sex or what had happened since the last. Yeah. How we chill the shit. Even though she know a nigga kill that shit. And really wanna come through and feel that dick. She liked it, like she loved it, she wrote it, she sucked it. Now baby, I won't judge her. Fuck you too, and it's a touchy subject. What constitute a hoe? How would constitute a player? Pursue the pussy or power over these love affairs. Well, hey, I choose the latter. But still a climbing pussy like a ladder. Touching a bladder till it splatter. Baby, arch your back up. Don't move, now back up. Now throw it backwards. Moving it forward faster. Anyway, come through, bring on. I got the urban. Just you and Raw,
just you and
mood is ours. No pressure, we roll up until we both see in the moon and stars.
I'm too deep, blowing two sweets with a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak. I'm too deep, blowing two sweets with a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak. I'm too deep, blowing two sweets with a new freak.
With a new freak.
With a new freak.
I need two R's and an L. That's a new car, some Kumar, some Ralph Lauren. All hell I need. Red suede, three stripes. Kiss and fly to go eat. Nice. No one on my road, so gone. Woke up, fucked up, ain't he right? Bad bitches that co-op. Fucked up doing a robot. Salute to Nike, Nigel Queens, nigga. Know what I'm talking about? Beauty and Essex, solely elite is my preference. Better rich, we and girls demand my presence. Cause I'm smarter than you niggas, I work harder than you niggas. Y'all way past gas, I ain't partin' in you niggas. They tell me break a leg like Tonya Harden to a nigga. Ask me if I care again, well I'm starting to you niggas. I'm about these comments, period, no question marks about it. And they ask me why so serious, you legends all just clowning. Ain't impressed by all that jewelry, get your ledger and account in New York dick. Got your fury like Avengers. Man, I'm about to set it off. Yeah, I'm about to set it off.
I'm so ready.
But now niggas get it off.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready. Trill hip hop.
It's the trill hip hop.
With just the picture gangster rap.
Oh, we still keeping it G.
I want you to.
Hey.
Roll up your zigzag.
Nah, this is sweet, man.
Elevate your mind.
That true.
Yeah. Grooves to the soul and
that
sound.
Yeah.
Of my man.
That true.
Beltway Critic Hacker.
Hey, appreciate you, Joe. Yeah. A whole lot of old niggas, OGs. Cause the game played right, and there's no need, no need for OT. Unless they paying more, double the time by half, and I'll be laying low. Praying for a change in my actions the same. I will actually brain some need to stay plain. As a flat lad, at best, I'll cross the Atlas. Cause that man you hearing over them speakers, he never had plans of doing anything but myself. At last, let a James vibe, blowing rap grass. You ain't saying shit, you just rap fast. Grab bags, chips on my mind. Frito-Lay pies, defying in my jaw. Gourmet eyes, yeah, yeah. Cause this is trill hip-hop. Defying in my jaw. Gourmet eyes, this the trill hip-hop.
This the trill
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
We have Peaches here via phone today.
Again. Once again. She's in Dallas. Anything?
Again?
Are you going to say anything? No?
I said again.
No one. Okay, we don't. Okay, she's just going to be like, she's going to be like a ghost today. You're like, we know that she's there, but we're not going to really pay attention to her.
Yeah. Can you not hear?
I can hear you. We hear you, but we just don't really care what you have to say.
You're only being smart because I'm not there. Don't show out in front of company.
Oh, don't. I definitely would not say any of this to your face. I feel really safe over the phone right now.
She would probably hit you.
Yeah, it's nice. We have a good show today, Motai. I'm talking to Motai. I'm not even going to say Peaches today. We have a good show today, Motai, right?
Peaches is irrelevant.
You have to see me again. Remember show. That.
I have to see you again?
Yeah.
Not till the next time we do one of these shows.
I'm calling your mom as soon as you hang up.
Don't you dare. Okay, we have a good show for you today. We have one of, he's always mentioned, Motai, as one of the best rappers underground, that is, from the city of Houston. And we have him in the studio today. We have him in Brown Sugar Studios. Let's introduce him right now. His name is Rob Goulet.
Can I say something?
Say it.
It's Goulet.
It's, what am I saying?
You're saying Goulet.
What is it?
It's Gu.
It's Gu, not Gu.
He says it wrong all the time.
It's fine. Everybody says it wrong all my life.
I didn't know if it, I thought it was Goulet.
Everybody, they used to call me, a football coach used to call me Galati.
Galati.
I caught a case a few years ago, and for whatever reason, they put an I in my name, and the judge the whole time during I was going through the case called me Robert Gugliotti.
Gugliotti.
You ever got Gillette?
Yeah, people used to get beat up for that, honestly.
All right, so I'm not going to say that again.
I grew up having a hot mom, so.
What'd you say, Peaches?
I'm not violent anymore. I was like 5'6", my son age.
You said you caught a case?
Yeah.
What was that for?
It was actually one of the trashest cases ever.
It was a trash case? I don't know what that means. Like it was a garbage case?
It was really a. I couldn't.
It was over some tomfoolery.
I couldn't believe that I had caught this case as an adult male.
Did you steal some candy from a candy store?
No, it was a prostitution case. No, I'm playing.
I was about to say.
Oh, man.
Rob, I ain't trying to pay for
soliciting. Nah, it was actually a possession case.
Of drugs of some sort?
Of a certain plant, but it was such a minute amount. I felt like he should have let me go. And come to find out, he had got an award for most misdemeanor arrest.
Oh,
I just fit right up his alley.
You were screwed on that one.
Yeah, it was like I was like 24, 25. I had never caught a weed charge in my life, man. I've been smoking since like 6th, 7th grade.
You've been smoking since the 6th grade?
Honestly. Honest God, truth.
Well, how old are you in 6th grade? You're 11?
I was 11.
11 years old.
Wow.
I'm a summer baby.
Jesus.
So you know how to roll up a blunt and everything. Or did you?
Pretty good.
Oh, man.
Your son's pointing to himself. He's saying, I know how.
No, I don't think he knows how, man. I think he's trying to talk on the microphone. That's what I think.
Peaches, you're missing the cuteness right now.
I'm missing it.
Peaches is still here? My bad.
You're missing the cuteness.
Oh,
really? Rob brought his little black baby boy son.
Rob, let me tell you how Brad has a thing about little black boys.
Okay, don't make it sound weird.
There's no way to say that and it not sound weird.
I mean, it sounds weird, but.
It's a different kind of. It's not like a weird. I don't need to catch a case, Rob. It's more of an appreciation of little black baby boys. I don't know how to say it. Someone help me out here. I'm drowning.
I can't help you on that, Brad.
Anyway. But you're here now.
Yes.
You've been smoking since. How'd you come across marijuana at such a young age? I'm so.
What question is that?
I'm interested as well.
Thank you, Motai.
I'm gonna say this, man, without incriminating, but one of my parental figures was a avid marijuana smoker.
Okay.
So like when we were like, I'm saying like young, like maybe 4th, 5th grade, we used to try to like smoke her roaches or whatever. I just incriminated her. It didn't. I don't think I was getting high in like 4th, 5th grade.
But you were attempting.
Yeah, the summer going into 6th grade though, my sister and her boyfriend, which is my nephew's father, we were over their house.
Yeah.
And they were smoking, and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna just smoke." I mean, I've been around it all my life, but I never really just like really smoked. And They had me smoking an electric bong at the time.
An electric bong?
Yeah.
How does that work?
It's pretty.
It's like a vaporizer, right?
It's not a vaporizer. This is, mind you, I'm kind of old, so this was 1995, 96.
You're smoking electric blunt. Is that like a trippy stick?
No, an electric bong.
Oh, electric bong.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying, what does he have, a G-pen?
That's what I'm saying. It's like a trippy stick.
Nah,
but
I don't even know what that trippy stick stuff is.
I don't know exactly what
it is. It's hash oil.
It's what, peaches?
Hash oil. It's like hash, and then it's like, from what I've been told, it's like the hash oil. It's like the same thing as the hookah stick, but whatever, wherever they will put the hookah, you put hash oil.
So it's like those electric cigarettes, pretty much.
And hookah.
Wow. They have
those back in there. But I'm not a fan of hookah, to be honest with you.
Why y'all banning hookah? What's wrong with hookah?
What's wrong with hookah?
Hookah's weird.
Because you're smoking tobacco. And I mean,
you're
most of the time people that smoke weed be like, okay, well, you smoke weed because you don't want, it's healthier, it's cleaner, it's from the earth. So if you're going to do all that and go smoke a hookah, you contradicting yourself, you smoke a tobacco. It's a drug, like you smoking.
But you're not inhaling,
and it hurts,
right? Isn't
and
that
the
thing?
You don't even get the same effect.
Does it make your lungs black?
I'm scared of hookah.
For real?
Like, I smoked hookah before, man, and I had like a weird feeling in my head, like I was lightheaded.
I had a headache, but I got hit by a train.
It's a weird buzz, right?
Because mind you, I'm a weed smoker, so I don't smoke tobacco products.
I'm not gonna incriminate myself and say too much more on this.
I'm not gonna trip about that. Well, my collard greens had two peaches. I heard you was a collard green maker. I'm going to just throw that out there. But,
does anyone watch The Office? Did anyone ever watch The Office?
I watch it, but not enough to like.
There was an episode where Steve Carell's character thought collard greens were colored greens. He was like, I don't see how that's racist. He goes, they're not called collard greens. They're called colored greens. Come on. They're not called collard people, are they?
Oh, my God.
Hey, man, shout out to Paula Deen, too, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I heard she used the N-word. Was that what it was?
I mean,
Peaches, you're the cook. Do you know what Paula Deen was talking about?
I heard she was making Sambo burgers.
I know who Paula Deen is. I don't watch TV. I don't watch Paula Deen.
So what is she doing, Rob?
Apparently, come to find out, she's a 65-year-old white woman who might be racist.
I know who she is, but why might she be racist?
She might be racist.
She's a 65-year-old white woman who grew up in a racist
era. Civil rights
South
type stuff.
Might have a hint of racism in it.
Okay, I can see that. I can see a hint.
And it's like,
was she using racial slurs
or something? They were saying that, like, somebody's suing her brother, actually.
For
who runs one of her restaurants for like racial undertones and things like that, and apparently she kind of partook in it. I read an excerpt from a book today, actually.
Oh, okay.
That's how I know what's going on. I finally got a chance to look.
He read Paula Deen's book, Peaches.
No, I read an excerpt.
An excerpt,
Peaches.
Which has a P in it. I just want to point that out.
Man, I couldn't say it right now, man.
No, it's all good.
Excerpt.
But you know,
no, I don't think you pronounce it. I think it's an excerpt.
Y'all think y'all better than me because y'all hair slick back right now.
My hair's not slick. Is it slick back?
It has gel. Well, no, not more time.
It's a bouffant. I got a slightly different cut though today. I'm trying to. Ooh. Shit, Peaches! You just fell on the ground. did you feel that, Peaches? Did you feel you fell on the ground?
That hurt. Fell on the ground.
I fell on the ground.
Yeah, I kicked you to the ground on accident.
Brad, when I see you,
she's gonna do the same thing.
Don't.
That's not normally like when a girl says that over the phone. I'm very happy,
yes.
But in this instance, not so much. I'm afraid that she's going to stomp me.
She sounds slightly threatening.
I ain't gonna stomp you, but
Okay, so keep going about Paula Deen. You read an excerpt from her book,
but she was basically just talking about her experiences, like when she was a kid with black people, and apparently she got a black woman arrested. When she was little.
Did she take her seat on the bus? Is that what it was?
No, she apparently slept.
I heard about that.
The woman's daughter had blisters on her hand, and she popped her blisters or something. And the woman, like, you know, she was watching her at the time.
Yeah.
Like, she was a nanny or something, and she maybe spanked her. She went and told her grandfather or something, and the woman ended up catching a case behind it.
Oh, man.
And she was saying she felt bad about it. I mean, like,
I don't want Paula Deen to be a racist. I like Paula Deen. So wait, has she been saying racist stuff? Is that what it is?
I'm pretty sure she has. I wouldn't say that she's a racist. She's a 65-year-old white woman. Like,
I mean, this is
America. People take that way too seriously now. Like, you know that's how people were. Like, it's not really that big of a deal.
Man, this is America.
Everybody. Yeah, we might not be like it today, but, you know, it might be a little different. Like, to me, like, if Motai were to come out and say, like, the N-word or something, that might be a little offensive to some African-Americans. Or more so if I said it, right? But Paula
more
Deen...
More so if he said it.
More so
maybe
if
not
I
me,
said
but...
It. You're a minority, so you know what I'm saying? Like, you get away with stuff. Like,
yeah, and they leave the Chinese and... Excuse me, that's what I say. Vietnamese.
Asian, he's a Vietnamese.
Hey, you got Vietnamese, there you go.
Yeah.
Who else... It's a lot of different.
There's a lot of eases.
A lot of
Japanese,
Asian.
Chinese, Vietnamese.
Is that
it?
Real Taiwanese? Pretty girls. The real pretty girls.
Asians.
Philippines.
Oh, hey. Filipinos.
Yes.
Oh, I feel you
but
on that.
Nah, and they leave. They all say nigga. Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's pretty much.
They
I
know,
figured
really
out it's
do.
A term. It's a term for everyone except white people.
Well, I mean, I know some white boys who can get away with it.
Who's a white boy who can get away with it? Do we not
have you?
I can't.
Not
I don't
me.
Know. I
definitely
don't wanna,
not me.
I mean, anybody from A Leaf know the Posey brothers, like they real live gangsters, man. Like, these my partners, man. Like, you know, like you, if they said nigga to you, you're not gonna
trip out.
You're not gonna be these kind of white boys that you just gonna let it slide. You know, like, it's certain white guys. Look, I seen a white guy recently. I was like, man, he'll beat the shit out of me, man. Like,
so it's like sometimes you just can't do anything about it.
Yeah, you know.
Because you're intimidated.
It's the reality, right? Man. Like, people, it's America, man. Like, I'm sure all of us done saw, like, a Hispanic person driving bad and been like, shit, Mexicans can't drive.
Yeah.
Like, I say
it more so for Asian people.
One of my best friends
is
Mexican.
I mean, but that's not calling somebody a racial slur. That's making a generalization about the same thing. I just feel like, the word, if you're going to be offended by it, then be offended by it. But you have a decision to be offended by it. It's a personal choice. I'm not going to get offended by somebody calling me something that I don't answer to. Like, it really don't make me know, never mind.
You know, Robin Quivers from the Howard Stern show, she's a black woman, and they were talking about it the other morning on there, and she said, if a word isn't exclusive to one type of person, so anyone can say a word. It's pretty much what she said, and you really can't do anything
right.
about it.
I mean... You can tell when somebody's using it in a facetious way. Like, I've been into small towns in Louisiana and been called a pretty little nigga child. And, I mean, they really didn't mean no harm. That's just how they fuck. Like, I mean, and, you know, you get offended when stuff like that
we all
happens.
Try to hold that in
it's
so hard.
Happen.
You a pretty little nigga child.
It's a weird thing. But here's the thing. Why don't white people get offended when honky and cracker is used?
Because
like,
y'all run everything,
because
Brad. That's why. Y'all don't give a shit.
It makes me laugh.
Did you hear LeBron's speech last night?
He said, I ain't got no worries.
Man, nah, I know that's wrong, I guess, to generalize. But the bottom line, more than anything... Is that word was used to kind of like dehumanize us, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Kind of make it lower.
It's different. Like, I can accept it at this stage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I feel like if somebody called me a nigga, it's the equivalent of a black man saying fuck you to my face. Okay. It's not so much like why I feel
I mean,
like...
When you say somebody else, you mean another race?
Like, if somebody else was literally... I'm not going to take it like, you trying to hold me down. Like, it's nothing that I feel like I can't do in the world.
Right.
It's not because of my race. Even though I know my race gets me stopped by the police a little more often than other races.
You know what? I never thought that, like, being a white guy, you get away with stuff from policemen. But in my experience recently, you definitely do. You say, yes, sir, no, sir. I didn't even see that stop sign.
A black guy with a tie can get away with some things, too.
I'm sure. More so of a bow tie.
I mean, I can personally attest to that. I've been in situations where I've never been pulled over ever in my life. Like, anybody that know me, know my car didn't even have tags on it for a long time, and I drove, police behind me, never got pulled over. The moment that I had somebody in my car that looked a tad bit mischievous, pulled over on the side of the road, they running license plates, licenses, warrants, like, and, you know, it was something like...
But Peaches, you look suspicious.
I don't look suspicious.
You look like you had something.
Did you tell them your name?
I don't
Peaches?
Look suspicious at
Did you,
all.
When they pulled you over and they said license and registration, be like, I don't have my license, but I have a business card that says my name is Peaches.
I didn't have my license. I was like, I don't have my license, but I know the number.
You knew the number? Wow.
I know my wife. My mama always said there's three numbers you should know by heart: your bank account number, your license number, your social security number.
So you only have one bank account number?
I'm not telling you my bank account number.
No, she said you only have one. Do you only have one bank account? Because me and Tyler are me and Motai are ballers, and we have multiples.
I mean, the one that I need to get to for somebody to put money in there, I know that. What else I got ain't nobody's business. I ain't discussing that with you.
Ooh, so you got an offshore account?
You in my business.
I borrow a couple dollars.
I got a quarter you can have.
I got a quarter you can have.
How about you just go buy my CD on Bandcamp?
I got 60 you can have
Hey, how about you just go buy his CD on Bandcamp?
Now, where can you get that?
The actual site is atpishere.bandcamp.com.
atpishere.bandcamp.com. You can get Rob Gallet.
Won't you just call me Robbo, bro?
I'm gonna call you Robbo.
Just feel comfortable. Rob Gallet is just like the
stage name. Well, see, you know, I like you know, some people call me Brad. I prefer Brad Gilmore. I want people to refer to me by full Bradley James Gilmore is what you can call me, Rob.
Bradley James Gilmore. That's what I call him.
Anyway, so let's talk about it. Since you brought it, you know, you're MC, you're a rapper, you're from A-Leaf.
Yes.
I know that because I introduced you recently at a show.
Yes.
In quite epic fashion.
Yes, that was fun.
You missed it. I gave him the whole 1-2 wrestling, raw, you know, the whole thing. He came out.
He did.
He came out in a bathrobe.
Came out of the bathrobe?
He came out of the bathrobe with Ric Flair's music.
Man.
You know,
because he ratted, Rob. I meant to tell you, you ratted.
Yeah, I am. I gotta say this. Like, I was born in Texarkana, Texas, and like that's a very ratchet place. My roots is ratchetness.
Your roots are ratchet.
Like, you know, got a little reformed. I got to go to Westside High School for a year and a half.
Westside.
So like, I was hanging around white people.
And you allow white people go to Westside?
At the time when I was there,
I was like,
I went there the year it opened, and then
that's probably like, yeah. White people always go to the brand new stuff.
Yeah. And I was playing rugby; it was fun. Where are you from, Mo City? Where y'all went? You went to school with him? You know this guy? I bet you didn't expect to see Trey here.
We do not speak of this man who's sitting to the right of me. He's not even in existence. So you're a rapper from A-Leaf, right?
Yes, yes.
Rob Gullet.
Gullet. Just call me Robbo.
Your name's Gullet too. High Tell five. Him, air high five, little man. Bow. Black baby boy power. Okay. So you're from
yeah.
A-Leaf.
Yeah.
Rob, I'm not even gonna say Robbo.
Yeah,
okay, have you had more than one stage name? I know you used to go by a different one. What was that?
Yeah, I used to go under the name Critical.
Critical.
Yeah.
Like critical.
But nah, Critical, and that's exactly why I changed it.
So what? Why'd you pick Critical?
Honestly, I'm gonna tell you
where that come from.
I was like in eighth grade freestyling. Swear to God, man, I was freestyling, and I said something that rhymed with Critical.
Yeah.
I said shit about to get Critical.
Ah.
And then I was like, fuck, that sounds like a cold rap name.
So I'm gonna go by Critical.
And I just started calling myself that. I used to spell it with C's for like the first year. But then I changed it to like Critical with two K's in like 10th grade.
Yeah.
And shit, that's what I was running with. Like, I used to be on the battle rap scene real heavy. Like, I mean, that's kind of, I don't want to say that's where I started, but I guess that is where I kind of first started trying to put my like name in the public spectrum. I was putting out tapes in the hood.
Yeah.
Like, from a real young age, me and my original rap clique. We have been putting out like...
What was the rap clique's name? I always loved the first rap clique's name.
The 40 Gators.
The 40 Gators?
And it was spelled 4D.
Oh, like a 4D Gators.
Yeah, G-A-T-A. And it's for the Greater A-Leaf Texas Alliance.
Oh.
And then for the people that's like not from A-Leaf, it's for the Grimy and the Advance.
Ah.
Because we got some people like out in Florida that fuck with it.
Because of Gators?
Yeah,
Gators.
They Gators and... Because the original founder of it is originally from Tallahassee. Well, his people originally from Tallahassee. So he got Florida roots, and that was just, I guess, his way of kind of keeping both of them. But.
Florida and A-Leaf. Okay, so you start on the battle scene as Critical with two K's.
Yeah.
Good thing you didn't have a third K in there. Yeah, we could have some issues.
Yeah.
So you're Critical. You're going around the battle scene. Okay, how do you decide you want to battle?
Well,
a lot of rappers nowadays they don't battle.
You got to understand.
They don't freestyle either.
And I'm not saying this like I'm old or nothing like that, but I literally have been rapping and been attempting to write rap since I was my son's age.
Yeah.
And this all I pretty much wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I come from an era where kind of it's the tail end of the golden age of hip hop.
Yeah.
And you know, the mid 90s where it was lyrics still mattered, even for Southern rappers. Lyrics still mattered. And so that was just, it wasn't I just wanted to be a battle rapper. It was something that I could do. It was I knew I could make songs even back then. I was writing songs for females and, you know what I'm saying?
Is that how you got to him, Rob?
Nah, I'm just saying.
Let me write a song.
Nah, not even. I'm just saying that. I'm a songwriter.
I want a song.
Write me a song.
I'll write you one if I get them collard greens. We'll talk later. We'll talk later.
Is collard greens code for something? Because it sounds like it is.
Nah, I'm going to ask Peaches some questions. Can I send an email?
Do you have any questions off top for Peaches you want to ask her?
Off the record.
Okay, we're off the record officially.
Nah, we're off the record.
Ask Peaches. No, not right now. I'm going to send an email and submit and be a regular person.
This is a weird vibe I'm getting here.
I'm not going to be
a rapper.
You
as a, what's that, anonymous?
Peaches, how do you feel about this right now?
I don't know, because I'm not even there.
You're not even there, and I'm pretty sure you're getting the vibes over the phone waves, aren't you?
I mean, I'm a man.
Well, all I asked for was a song.
I could write you a song, but it's going to cost you.
Ooh! Oh!
You said a collard green.
It's going to cost you. No, you're not going to get some collard greens.
No, I take them collard greens.
Brad, shut up.
I'll take
them. I'm trying to work out this song and collard greens deal.
What do you want the song to be about? I can make a positive song.
You a songwriter. I shouldn't have to tell you what to write about.
And I'm going
to
make a real erotic song about peaches. Next question, because my son's here. I'm a father, and I got to be an example.
That's right. You got to know how to you gotta teach young black baby boy how to put the Mac down. You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, and he is a Mac for real. He got girls coming knocking on the door for him already.
I see it. Look at him. He's got a bright yellow polo on. He's looking like a banana right now, like a fresh banana.
Yeah. He a player dude, man. I ain't gonna front. He a player dude.
Are you a player?
Say yes.
No, you shake. You do this.
Are you a boss hog?
Yeah.
You a boss hog?
Oh, no.
Rob being shy now. I don't know what's
That's
up.
All right.
I don't know if your son's a player. I don't believe you anymore. I need him to say it.
He's not going to say it. He's being shy.
He needs to say it on this interview. Right to the microphone.
By the end of the interview. Say it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a little Robbo.
Yeah, he's just yes. Are you a player? Yes. So anyway, so you're in the battle scene as Critical. How were you good at battling? Is that something you always try to do or what?
No, I was very good. Do y'all know Renzo?
Yes, very well.
Ask if y'all want a real story. Ask D-Lo how he met me.
Ask D-Lo how he met you.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to ask him how he met.
Ask him how we met.
Did you tear him up in a battle? Is that what it is?
I did. He threw his jersey at me.
This was way back.
This was
you got throwbacks
on. Wearing a throwback. He threw his jersey at me. But I was for real. That's how I know a lot of the rappers that's kind of from that, I guess, age, we were trying to do it, but we didn't have that Swisher Haas, that SUC plug, Rap-A-Lot plug. It was cats like D-Lo, myself. Mookie Jones.
Shout out Mookie.
I'm talking about people that's kind of still doing it. You know what I'm saying? Candy Red was around heavy at that time.
All right.
Chico from Young Problems. They used to be in a group called the Bayou City Boys.
All right.
There's a few cats that kind of have been here as far as on our underground. And it's cool now. Since I changed my name, it's kind of giving me almost a second career. But my cousin can vouch for this, man. We was putting out literally my first CD, in 05. We was putting out literally 500-600 CDs a month for a good 2 years straight.
Man.
And, like, we was really grinding, man.
What
like,
year was this?
This was 2005.
See, and that's what that, I think 2000, I would say 6 is the last year people started, 2006 was the year people stopped buying records.
I think.
You mean like
in store? In store, yeah. I can agree with you, but I can't agree with you because I'm in the streets with my CDs to this day.
Well, yeah, no, okay, but that, I'm saying like on a mainstream nationwide level, people just stopped.
Oh yeah.
What was it? Napster? Is that what it was? Did Napster bring it down, or was people iTunes?
I think it was
Napster, LimeWire,
LimeWire.
Man, you know, like YouTube started to come around. It's a bunch of, I mean, like, music itself, like, it was a lot of rappers coming out that wasn't putting out a good product. So, I mean, that got something to do with it. That's getting on my nerves. I ain't gonna front, but...
Yeah, sorry. If y'all can hear, there's like, a metal drummer in the background who just stopped and can probably hear me now.
Nice.
What's up? All right, and we're back.
Swat! But, yeah, it's... I mean...
You still with us, Peaches?
I was just ready to go.
I just saw a lot of rough shit in this rap game, man, on this industry or whatever, just because, like I kind of, like I said, I've been at it a little longer than a lot of people that's on our underground.
Yeah.
Difference was, like, I didn't really embrace, like, the internet right away.
Were you one of those guys? A lot of people were kind of like, I'm not going to do Twitter. I'm not going to do Facebook. That's not necessary.
Yeah, I mean,
now,
I was on Facebook because I was in college, so I had a Facebook page, like, off my college page, but it didn't dawn on me to use Facebook.
Was it called The Facebook?
Nah, it wasn't that old, man. But,
you're aging him now. He's not that old.
Nah, but he, like, it was one of them things, man. It didn't dawn on me that I should use, like, my music and promoted. I didn't know nothing about like links and file sharing or anything like that. I didn't send emails like music MP3s. I ain't do any of that type of stuff. So all I knew was just grinding the street, man. Like I was going to showcases.
Yeah.
Wherever it was something that we could do about rap, I was going to it. But like I said, it was a different era. And then like when the switch came more around. Really around the time like Facebook really blew up and Twitter came out, because the first year I had a Twitter page. I don't know if y'all know Krang.
Who?
Krang.
Krang?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like we used to be in business together. He was kind of like my manager. He operated my Twitter page for like the first year. I was like, man, nah, I don't fuck with that, man. You know, I'm a street nigga, whatever. I don't get down, but.
We don't tweet.
Yeah, and then once I realized it
we
had.
Get that twat. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You're
sorry, black baby boy. Don't yell at me.
But nah, it's just one of them things, man. Well, I watched it happen, man. Like, one of my best friends is Propane. You know, like personal friends. I recall sitting on this man's couch. We sitting there literally looking at each other like, man, should we get out here and get on some real criminal shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's right before a pro situation started moving. And
that's real.
Like, you know, I mean, I'm for real, man. I'm an OG in this underground movement, man. I've been doing it, like I said, but I don't know, man. My new music that came out last year just kind of opened some doors.
Last year's when the name change happened,
yeah,
right?
Well, the name change happened at the end of 2011.
In mid-2011?
Like October 2011.
And what was like the thought process behind that? You thinking that Critical was just not going to get you a wide audience or something?
Well, I had changed the name from Critical to Crit in about 2008, 2009. I started referring to myself as Crit,
okay,
like Beltway Crit. And then, obviously, you know, Big Crit popped off. And I was sitting there like, I'm 25, I think, at the time. Like, I can't be like a grown man coming up with a new rap name.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't think my name was going to catch because it's so hard for people to pronounce it.
Yeah. Gullet, Gulat.
And I Gulletti. Never asserted myself as Rob. Like, everybody called me Robbo.
Yeah.
Lil Bo, Big Bo, since he been around. But one of my partners was just like, go by Rob Gullet. I said, all right. And when I did it, I didn't think people were paying attention to me at that time, especially on the internet.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people was interested. Houston Press ran like a little thing about it or whatnot. And people was like, man, why you changing name? I'm like, shit, go Google Critical or Critical and tell me why I changed my name and then Google my name now. You know what I'm saying? It's a world of difference.
A lot. You know, those unique visitors. We learned about that, right, Motai? You need that. You need those first 20 to 30, you know, whenever you type in your name on Google, you need it to be all you when it first pops up.
You really do, man. And I mean, that's when I really first started to kind of put my mind in. And I, you know, we can't do it like we thought we were. We thought because we could just get out here and grind CDs.
Yeah.
And it was going to automatically catch on. But the people who buying the music, they don't get on the internet and talk about it. We don't know about blogs. We don't know about none of this. I mean, Show is a person who put me on the internet game.
Yeah.
And niggas be surprised because Show kind of like, you know, everybody think he was real gangster or whatever. Nigga been to the penitentiary, whatever, and people know that. He's a smart dude. He put me on the Day in a Dream. I didn't know, like I didn't know about none of that shit.
Dayandadream.com. Okay, keep going.
And The Fix, and just, you know, everybody is real supportive of us. But that's why I know, like, this situation now is realer than it was maybe, like, 05, 06, because now it's not just rappers that's trying to be a part of the industry. And I always felt like as long as it was just rappers, like the city of Houston, if what we're looking for is recognition, we'll never get it.
Yeah.
As long as it's just rappers trying to do something. Like, we don't have an industry. We don't have any tastemakers. We don't have people trying to write. We don't have people, you know, trying to break into the business in other aspects.
Right, right.
But fast forward.
Everyone wanted to be the star. Yeah. That's what you're saying. Okay,
fast forward to 2013, you know, you got this is going on right now.
Yeah, Brad Gilmore Show on Demand.
Look, you mean y'all website? I just mentioned
dayandadream.com.
You know what I'm saying? Sorry. Like,
Ask Queen, Peaches on Tuesdays.
Ask Peaches on Tuesdays.
I mean, it's just dope because it's a lot of people that's starting to get a name that's, you know, that's from Houston and care about our underground. And I just felt like, you know, long as they stay focused on their craft and not limit themselves to just wanting to talk about Houston rappers, that's gonna help it blow up even more, cause from the outside looking in, they're respected more than just somebody, oh man, this is what's going on in Houston. And that's why I like, you know, that's why I really appreciate like Day in the Dream and like Bobby, cause they do a good job of, you know, talking about us, but kind of bringing us, you know, like bringing shit to us too.
Yeah.
That we probably won't know about. So I don't know, man. It's cool, man. It's difficult. It's a lot of bullshit. From a rapper perspective,
politics and whatnot. Is
I mean,
saying?
Politics, yeah, man. And then, you know, it's a lot of street shit that come into rap music. You know
but
what I'm saying?
You know what? That comes from having a different understanding of the game, because a lot of people don't understand that. Like, a lot of people don't know. There's a conversation going on Twitter right now too that made me think of this. Like, a lot of people don't know how endorsements work. A lot of people don't know that there's a lot of people that are, you know, in place to make everything function. Like, it's not just about them. They don't understand that it takes more than one person to make stuff work.
Now, PG, you've been talking about that for a while on Twitter, I noticed. What do you...
I've been saying that for a long time. It takes... It's not about that. Like, some people are meant to have their coattails rolled, but just because you're riding on a coattail doesn't mean you're not working. Your job is on that coattail, but you still have to hold your own weight, right? Certain people are in certain positions for a reason. Everybody can't be the star. Everybody can't be the CEO. Everybody can't be the boss. Mm-hmm. People need to be in the background.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And this is coming, man, but that's because it's like a fictional idea of a rap game. Like, people think it's like the wrestling business or something, man. Like,
good metaphor.
You know what I'm saying? It's just what it is, man. Like, and it is for, it's a lot of things that are done that are spectacles, we know, but this is a business, like a $1 billion business. And then it's a weird business because you can make all this money off this business without having any credentials.
Yeah.
You can't just walk into the medical field and just say, hey,
I'm gonna start doing this.
I didn't came up with a cold ass idea for medicine.
Yeah.
Let me hop in the game.
I'm pretty sure, like, especially if you phrase it like that, they'd be like, yo, I got this cold ass idea for medicine.
He'll throw you out.
They'd be like, you have a cold ass? You need a blanket?
Yeah, get him. ER, get him. triage. But nah, you know, that's what it is. It's unique, man. It's good and it's bad, man. I don't know if y'all know DJ Chill. He told me some real shit like a long time ago. He said technology ruined rap music. But it also, like, It helped it.
Yeah, you know, DJ DMD said the same thing. Mm-hmm. He said back in the day, it would cost, you know, thousands of dollars to go in the studio and make mm-hmm. a record. And then nowadays, people can go to Guitar Center, mm-hmm. get a garage band on their laptops, mm-hmm. and, you know, spend a couple hundred dollars and make all the music they want to, which is, like you said, it's a pro and a con.
Yeah,
you're
going
to get a lot more garbage than you normally would.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who maybe were super talented beforehand who didn't have the means of recording mm-hmm. now have that opportunity.
Yeah, because when I first started recording, we was recording on like little 4-track recorders,
yeah,
and run them in the little bullshit ass rolling mixers or whatever,
yeah,
and use them karaoke machine mics, and then we'll
little tape recorders,
mm-hmm. oh, old school stuff.
So you know, we couldn't even do doubles, like like you had to have your whole rap ready. If you got 3/16 in the hook,
yeah,
you got to record your hook every time the hook come,
and you got to hit it. You got to hit it,
and we'll be writing and
it's like one take, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, like when Killa was in here, he was saying he thinks it's ridiculous if someone takes 4 hours to record one verse. He was like, "Cause back when I started,
you know
when
what?
He
I thought about that, and this is what I have to say about that. When you, for instance." Some people take longer because their musicianship is different. If you can sit here and rap and rap and rap and rap, congratulations. Like, good for you.
No, but like, I kind of agree with what he's saying, though, Peaches, is like, if you have a 16 written already, it should not take you 4 hours to record that one verse.
Nah, I agree.
What are you trying to get it right?
Agree.
Like, damn, why can't somebody take 4 hours to get it right?
Well,
like, if you ain't paying for the studio time, why do you care how long you
because
take?
Because if you, I'm going to say this from a rapper perspective. If I come to your session, let's say you invite me to do a song. All right, I come over there, especially if I do it for free, and you in the booth on a verse that you should have had prepared, man, like, that's the problem.
I mean, I agree with that.
I agree.
Saying, like, if
it's a difference between taking time and being in your own session and like, all right, I do this a lot. I record a whole song. Shit, my abortion, I recorded damn near every song 3 times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's a difference between taking the song home or sitting down listening. Or what's even worse than somebody taking a long time to record is a nigga that take a long time to write. Now, that's bad.
Who takes forever to write something?
If you're taking 4 or 5 hours to come up with a 16, you shouldn't be rapping, man.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not coming up with melodies and
right.
having to write song notes and shit. Like, you're a rapper, man. Like, if you could really rap, this shit just gonna kind of, it's gonna flow for you.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I definitely agree. I think like, if this is what you do, if you spend, and by the time, normally when you're finished writing a verse, you've repeated it to yourself so many times in that writing process, it shouldn't take you that long to do it. And I think what Killa was saying, Peaches, is like, if you're really about your hustle and you're about your game, you should be more proficient with your time.
I understand it. I'm not in that context yet. Like, if you're on somebody else's time, then of course. But I'm saying that the niggas who be like, I threw a project together in 10 days, like,
Like it. But here's the thing, like, if they threw a project together in 10 days and it came out sounding like Justin Timberlake's album, which he did in 20 days, okay, I'm rocking with it. Now, if it sounds like if he recorded in 10 days and it sounds like he did it in 10 days, it's a different story. I guess it's a case by case basis.
It's definitely, man. Mm-hmm. If you got,
you smell me?
You
Peaches?
Got the all time. If you, I told a friend of mine, I feel like if all I could do is rap, I could put out something as good as whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get to comparing myself, but if that's all I did was rap in the studio all day, who know what a nigga come up with, man? But it's all relative, man.
I mean, but if you, okay, so let me ask this then. Ask someone, you know, who takes time to, you know, put out projects versus his, you know, music. What do you feel, how do you feel about inspiration and what you're doing? How do you feel about people that put out a lot of music, but they're not talking about anything?
Well, I mean, me personally, man, I got past that they not talking about anything stage because the reality of it is, man, like, the average listener doesn't give a shit anyway. You could be sitting down.
Yeah. The thing I hate to interrupt you. The thing I hated, I was with somebody the other day, and I was playing her a new song that we recorded, and I was like, so what'd you think of it? And she was like, You know, I don't really listen to the words. I just listen to the beat.
They like
and I'm
the
like,
vibe.
Are you serious?
They like the feel of the
yeah.
beat.
You know how long we spend writing this?
And you know, you just gotta... I got to a point, man, where I understood that people don't pay attention. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man. Like, I guess my approach, like, with thinking about people that drop a lot of music, if that's what you want to do, you know what I'm saying? That's what you want to do. I choose not to because everything might, to me, everything has to be at a certain quality for me to feel like I'm just finna drop it.
Right.
I mean, I write every day. I record weekly. I got songs, plenty of songs that's sitting up that I could have dropped. You know what I'm saying? I just figure if I could last one CD over a whole year plus, that's saying more than just being a nigga that's dropping 5-6 CDs every 2-3 months. You got a new
quality
CD.
Quality over quantity.
And nobody really paying attention to what you're doing at the end of the day. They get so caught up in the output. Like, you look at somebody like Currency.
Uh-huh.
He was putting out so much music that I don't think he can blow up now. Honestly.
Why you say that?
I think he as big as he's gonna be.
Why?
Because he puts so much music out. It's so much out there for you to go and look for.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's like people, like if he, unless he fell back and came with some I don't know, some crazy ass marketing, Currency is, he is who he is.
Yeah.
Now, if that's your goal, he got money. I can't. Now, if we talking on that kind of level, I know like a feeble-minded nigga gonna say, "Well, shit, he eating." And yeah. I understand that. You know, you get money. This is what we supposed to do in America.
Yeah.
You can't even ride on certain freeways without money. You know what I'm saying? Like, get money, it go without saying.
Yeah.
Come to music. You know, I heard somebody say it's three kind of artists. It's the artist that's gonna do whatever. Whatever is put in front of them, hey, I'm just gonna do it. If this, I don't give a shit. I don't have no integrity,
yeah,
or nothing like that. I'm just trying to get heard and be seen.
Yeah,
you got the artist and the person that I heard this on. It was on one of them the Micona classes. Is that how you say it?
Say it again.
That come on the Independent Film Channel. Like
yeah,
they
yeah,
have
yeah,
like
yeah.
two real famous people like talking to each other.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's Icono class or something.
I think that's what it is.
But he said the second artist is generally the artist that's going to be really successful. And this is the person who kind of understands that, all right, I got to play that role with these people and give them what they want. But I'm smart enough to go out here and I use Justin Timberlake as an example.
Okay.
I don't think Justin Timberlake can sit in the studio by himself and produce an album in 20 days.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
But you go get James Fauntleroy. You got Timberland, you got all of these people that work with them that we don't know about. You make it happen.
Yeah.
He's smart enough to, I'm going to give you that, what you're missing, but I'm also give you what we need to
right.
keep that shit funded.
Right. Yeah.
Then you got this other artist, and these are generally the ones that people really love, but they don't, for whatever reason, it just don't work out. It's the ones that's totally emotion driven. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? And
driven by the art.
And that's all they know. And I asked myself, man, you know, like, all right, I think I'm more of the third kind, but I do want to get some money off this music.
Yeah.
So I got to start kind of trying to operate, you know, more within the realm of what everybody's doing, but still, like, not so much to where I feel like I done compromised everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just give people music that I know they want to hear, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, keep my perspective on it. And that's really why I don't put out a lot of music. Because that takes time.
I see what you're saying. You know, I like that. There are three kind of artists, and I think a lot of people who are the third artist, they never burst that bubble because, like you said, they're so caught up in the art, in the music, in the passion. They're so emotion driven that they're so emotional that they don't have a business sense about them. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what you're saying. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand. DJ Motai is going to play us some music, and then we're going to be back with Robbo.
That's it.
Rob Gullett.
Yes, sir. Gullett.
Rob Gullett. And we're going to talk about the big week in hip-hop we just had with the big releases. I want to get your opinions on all those and a couple other things here on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand. Peaches?
What?
I just wanted to hear your voice. All right, we're going to be back. Put up,
For some reason, I'm into the thick, petite and dainty, abstract, stereotypical, off the wall type of painting. Soft spoken, yet outgoing, calm in the morning, but mostly cranky. Fresh in every math, knows how to keep her phone stanky. Hilarious in the nights, when I'm afraid to have a nice. This my divvy chance she gets when she splits like ice cream. Sweet, drool at the clicks of her feet, cool in every aspect, cries in victory, not defeat. Annoying that, but sometimes she keeps her room neat. Such an intellect, but she was born and raised in the street. Doesn't believe in the independence thing. She wants a man and he wants the same. So blind in the middle of a case, most popular, still considered a lame. I wanna say, hey babe, can I get your number please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you can chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you can chill. I said, hey babe, can I get your number please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you can chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you can chill. Now if I told you that my heart's the lock and you were the key, would you open up for love externally and let it free? Yeah. Cause when I saw your face, I could hardly breathe. Words from above, I could hardly speak. Your presence has a tendency of doing this to me. Yeah, you make my decay beautifully exciting while reciting a few lines to a dime name. Or when I use reciting, I'm actually providing an example of the word game. Now game a word used to explain the terms you slang when you want to get the chick, or the terms you slang. You wanna maintain a day full of tricks and said, hey baby, can I get your number please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you can chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you can chill. I said, hey baby, can I get your number please? Hook up later, get a break to it. Or maybe me and you can chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you can chill. The way that I treat a woman, you say it's kinda lame. You say it wouldn't work and you say it run again. But I think different, other dudes disrespect. Always telling lies, trying to keep her in check. But please, that's not the way to live. First instinct is to take and never give. But me, I believe that a relationship needs great communication, flowing conversation. Indeed, the relationship was a novel they designed to read. Don't hook up on the first night and try to plant you some seeds. If you wanna know the rest, then give me your number, you'll see. Oh. But it's one more thing I gotta say. Hey, baby, can I get your number, please? Hook up later, get a bite to it. Or maybe me and you can chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you can chill. I said, hey babe, can I get your number please? Hook up later, get a bite to it. Or maybe me and you can chill for a scene. Or maybe me and you can chill.
Yeah. Why what?
I said, he over there. I said, he ain't got no patience. He been itching the fuss of the little boy the whole time.
Because he need to sit down.
He wants a microphone.
Hi. He's a child. Why does he want to sit
Peaches.
Down?
Hi.
So hi, Peaches.
Hi.
Because He's little boys now. Break stuff. You feel me?
Little boys do break stuff. Like headboards. All right. Well, we're back. We're going to be back.
But they're not doing anything, though. They're supposed to be destructive.
In certain places.
In certain places, Peaches.
In
what?
I'm not finna have one of them little niggas just running around here fully.
Fully.
No. Y'all, I hate when people do that to their kids. Let them play.
No, they play all the time. That's all they do.
I'm only saying that because it's not my, they're not, the children aren't mine, and they ain't got to go home with me, so I don't have to be mad later.
Well, Peaches, when we have my second child, you know what I'm saying? It'll probably be different.
And you're also only saying that because you're over the phone in Dallas.
Is that
no Cowboys too, by the way.
You say what?
I'm a Cowboy fan.
You're a Cowboy fan.
Why everybody be wanting to give me a baby, but ain't nobody giving me a house? Give me a house.
I give you a house, man. We can move in the.
Somebody give me a house, I give them a baby.
We can move in the South Park. The property taxes is real.
I know.
Right
no, see, I can't. Let me tell you about the way that I'm set up. I cannot.
You want to move to A Leaf? It's some nice areas over there too. It ain't all crime.
Why you still out here in the 80s? Like, I
actually,
don't
I want
know.
To settle in West University, honestly.
I'm with you.
They got the best grocery stores. I went to the HEB over there on Buffalo Speedway. Mm. The other way.
See,
Whole
that's
Foods?
What I'm saying. I need somewhere with fresh produce, you know, so I can go get my stuff. I need somewhere where I can plant a garden, so I need a yard.
Why you need a garden?
Did you catch my rant about grocery stores is proof that racism is still alive.
We're back here on the Brad Gumbel Show.
Look,
by the way,
you know, I feel like you're one of them black power ass people.
Are you very pro black? I'm very pro white.
Let me say this, and that's fine with me. I don't think it's a problem.
You know, I had this conversation with somebody. Keep going.
I'm pro black, yes. When I was younger, I was a little more like militant. I had a CD called Welcome to Real Nigga.
I can believe that. You know what? That makes a lot of sense.
What you know about it, Trey? You know about it.
Welcome to what?
Real Niggaville.
Okay. Okay.
DJ Young Sam.
No, because it's certain people that they just feel like it's like they. I feel like everybody's out to get them, and it's really not like that.
Nah,
right?
I don't think.
Sometimes you just gotta let it go.
Nah, let me say this, man. I'm more so. I don't think nobody holding me back. First off,
yeah,
I'm gonna put that out there. I don't think anybody holding me back. I am aware. That there's a certain protocol that if you don't choose to play, you're not going to be able to play in this game. You know what I'm saying? And people, you can deny that all you want. Like, that's fine. But I can't deny it because I've seen
it. No, I'm not denying anything. But, I just pick and choose what I let bother me.
No, I mean, I think, like, people take, like, Twitter. Like, especially,
yeah,
like, maybe with me.
Like,
I mean, I feel like it's real because it's the shit that I'm thinking about.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like I'm saying if I say some things about, like how I said, grocery stores is proof racism is still alive.
What does that even mean?
That just mean that in the black stores, in the lower income stores,
they don't have as fresh produce.
They don't have all
the stuff. If you go to the HEB on Scott, their produce is not as fresh as if you would have went to the one that's, let's say, on Westheimer. Mm-hmm. Or even if you go to the Kroger that's on OST, but more towards the medical district.
It's great.
If you go to the Kroger that's in Pearland, it's awesome. Like, the Kroger in Pearland, one of my favorite Krogers.
Super Target in Friendswood. Mm-hmm. Stand up. Okay, keep going.
See, I don't have Target wasn't always a grocery store.
Target was the worst grocery store.
I'm country in the fact that I don't like my clothes and my groceries.
Walmart's like that.
Target is a horrible grocery store.
Hey, Target is such a great grocery store in Friendswood, at least. Where I live, Super Target, that's where you go.
Not at the one off Westheimer and Dunnville, man. Don't go there.
I saw a picture on the internet somewhere. It said in California, or not California, but you can see where the rich people live and the poor people live when you look up a Walmart. And then it's on this side of town, and then we look up a Whole Foods on the opposite side of town.
There are no Walmarts inside the loop. The only Walmart inside the loop is the one that's
outside
over there
the loop.
Off of 610 and, you know, South Post. Yep. That Walmart doesn't even have a produce section. They have, like,
that's a neighborhood
pork,
Walmart.
Milk, and eggs.
Yeah.
But that's it. You got to go to Kroger, or you got to go outside the loop to find the Walmart. To me, that's ridiculous. But why? Because your poor area, Houston, is inside the loop.
Man, and it's also because poor people generally don't speak up for themselves. They wait till
they don't have the education to, though. So,
I mean, I think that's a poor excuse at this stage in the game. I'm gonna say that.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but you gotta understand that they don't have that.
No,
like,
I'm just saying that at
this
stage in the game,
they don't have internet access. They don't have
it's there, man. It's a
telephones
I'll say this.
And
it's a library in Third Ward on Scott Street.
Yeah.
People gotta be proactive, man. At some point in time, this why I'm not.
When they can't read.
I mean,
when the last time you said
we need to talk to these, we need to talk to these parents. These parents, man. I mean, I worked at the South Central YMCA for 3 years to the day it was shut down. That's what I'm saying. It's largely due to the parents and the way that the school system is set up and how the funding structure is set up in Texas. The state of Texas is gonna fund everybody evenly about 40%. Of their budget. The other 60% gonna come from property taxes.
Yeah.
If I live in Katy or Friendswood, if I live in Sugar Land or something like that, property taxes gonna be higher. Certain areas in HISD, that's why Bel Air, Lamar, Westside are good schools, and then you go to Robert E. Lee.
Lamar High School.
Yeah, you know, you go to Robert E. Lee, you go to Yates, you go to Worthing, you go to these schools, and it's not the same. It's just a disparity. And then, like, you go to where I'm from in A. Leaf, it's weird. Certain areas, don't have as high property taxes, but the other areas, because the property taxes are so high, kind of offsetting they leaf. But that's why there's so many problems out there, because it's a real, like, financial disparity out there. Either you really have it or you really don't. You out there just kind of living because it look good and it's affordable housing that's not in the slums. But, I mean, it ultimately, man, it's black people, man. I just feel like, you know, it. And I'm not even an Obama fan, I'm going to say that. But
did you vote for Obama?
I did the second time. The first time I didn't even vote.
Okay.
But I voted the second time just because I felt like I needed to vote, exercise that right. But I mean, like, I don't think this mean that much. But him being in office, it do show you. All right, look, man, like, we can do whatever we want to do.
No, I think it means a lot. I think the seeing Barack Obama, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, okay. I mean, that used to be the guy, the head. I mean, that is the head honcho of the country. You see what I'm saying?
I'm gonna just say, for what it's worth, man, it's probably been about 1 billion people in the history of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say from its inception.
Okay.
How many presidents we done had?
44.
Nobody's gonna be the president. It's not mathematically possible.
Yeah.
White, black, Chinese.
Yeah.
It's not mathematically possible. It's only been 44 white men to be the president.
43 white men.
Well, however many.
Barack Obama's 44th.
Yeah, well, he white too, man. He's half white. Yeah,
it counts.
I mean, but that's all.
Ain't no nigga like me gonna be the president. I'm gonna tell you that.
Why gonna Rob Gullet?
They gonna find out that I got some real militant views. They gonna find out.
You're wearing a camouflage hat right now.
Yeah, they gonna find out.
I'm a little afraid.
I got on the NBC, like.
It says Smash.
It's like a.
Tuesdays.
That's a friendly shirt.
It says smash, though.
In Vans.
Smash is a pretty powerful verb there. You could smash my skull in. Or you could smash something else.
Peaches.
Kylie Green.
Hey, baby. Hey. How you doing?
How you doing?
You still with us, Peaches?
Yes.
But answer your question, I'm not militant, man. I ain't out here tripping like that, man. I just want my son to grow up in an environment where he can flourish and shit, learn how to make good decisions. I don't think these kids know how to make decisions. They ought to be like a class in school.
I actually think decision making class would be a really good idea.
Hey,
I don't think it's so much. I think that we don't look like, if you think about like school district now, teachers are teaching just because they want summers off. They're not teaching because they like to teach or that they actually care about the education that these
there
kids
are
getting.
There are a few, but I would say majority, you're correct.
And they make it too hard to be a teacher, though, man. Like, I mean, I think,
I mean,
like, why if I want
to
be a history teacher,
with kids.
Why
like
I got to go through algebra?
You can't be a teacher and not have patience with kids.
Yeah.
Because you have kids that come from different things. Like, a lot of times, we think that we deem any kind of behavioral problem ADHD. Like, or they got ADD. That ain't always what it is.
Yeah, so, I've never met so many people nowadays have ADD or ADHD.
If your kids don't, go ahead. A lot of these kids are bored.
I'm gonna tell y'all something.
Because they don't go out and play outside no more. They play daggone Nintendo DSs and shit. Like,
PS3s, okay, Peaches, come on.
Think about our convo in the beginning when I was talking about this.
Kids watch TV and sit in the house. They don't go outside no more.
Peaches, yeah.
Like, my kids won't get to watch TV all day. They got me all the way to you gonna go outside.
I'm gonna tell you this. I work for
and
a substance abuse foundation.
And matter of fact, you gonna have to drink out the water hose, because I used to have to drink out the water hose. So go outside. Don't come in the house and street like, come on.
I feel you. Now, Rob's been trying to say something, Peaches, and you keep cutting him off.
In the thing, talking about ADHD.
I'm joking.
I work for a substance abuse foundation.
Okay.
Like, I do the admissions.
Okay.
So, like, most of the heroin addicts of today, I don't want to give you a percent, but it's over 50% of like newer heroin addicts were prescribed Ritalin when they were a child.
Oh.
And these drugs, man, like, I don't know if y'all, I've been sick like the last 2 months. I have like gastro issues, been throwing up, and one of the treatment options was to take an opiate.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I'd just rather stay sick.
Yeah.
I get paid because of opiates.
Yeah.
Quite
that's how you get it. You don't want to get addicted to
them. Yeah, that's like, man, these what she's saying, I totally agree with it, man. Like, y'all giving all these mental illness to these kids. Even as adults, they misdiagnosing people, man.
Oh, all the time.
We could all look up, like, mental illness issues, and I bet you everybody in here would be like, damn, I fit the
description. Those symptoms sound about right.
Yeah, I felt like, but, like, we fucking humans, man. Yeah. Like, we emotional sometimes. Some days we up. Shit, an hour before I was supposed to come here, I was real depressed. Like, damn, I can't get here.
Yeah.
Like, I was almost like, should I quit rapping almost? Like, shit, I'm tired of, like, you know what I'm saying?
Hassles.
Like,
and
all that shit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it work itself out, man. Yeah. You just gonna go, what they call them, ebbs and flows, I think, man. Yeah. Like, that's just life, man. Like, people gonna go through it. Now, it is some people that's really crazy.
Yeah, yeah, some people are legitimately crazy. Yeah. But see, I think a lot of times also, like, you know, doctors are real quick to say, okay, yeah, you need this. Like with me, like, I just had a, oh, by the way, yo, this is the sixth week of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand.
Yeah.
And I am, as I mentioned on the first episode, I'm undergoing recovery from a tooth implant, okay? I'm still toothless right now. They've removed the tooth for anybody who's interested. And they put a titanium root in my mouth, right? And they prescribed me a Vicodin for pain, right? Now, I'm going to be honest. I took, for the first 3 days, I took the Vicodin. You know what I'm saying? Because I thought I was going to be in pain. Yeah. But for the day four, and they gave me about 20, 30 Vicodin plus a refill, right? By day four, I was like, I don't need this. I'm not in pain at all. So I took the rest of the Vicodin, and I just flushed it down the toilet because it's a narcotic, and it's a hydrocodone, and I know that's easy to get addicted to. Yeah. Threw it down the toilet. It's kind of what you're saying. So many of those heroin addicts were given that Ritalin or given that whatever. And I think the doctors don't really take time sometimes to think about what is this going to do for this kid because they're going to be so – their body's going to be –
No. You get people addicted to things because then you continue to make money. When you get somebody addicted to something, you give them another drug to under the system. So then that makes them addicted to something else. Like,
the whole world, Peaches, is a conspiracy theory. LeBron should have never won a second championship ring. We know that. That's a conspiracy.
Nah, it's not a conspiracy with Big Pharma.
It went to game seven.
They out there, man. They getting big money, man. Like, they getting big money.
Yeah.
They get, man, I should have been in pharmacy shit.
Pharmaceutical.
Legal pharmacy.
Yeah.
That's where the money is. Hey, fuck the illegal dope game, man. Go get into the legal game, man. Sell you some damn, some Zofran or something, somebody and shit, man. These pharmaceutical sale people be 6-7 figures, man.
Yeah.
Like, crazy money. Like, big money. Like, but that's just what it is, man. Like, I asked my CEO what's the difference between the European health system and our health system. Basically, he said all it is, the European health system says that we only gonna pay for a certain amount of, like, type of medication.
Yeah.
They don't really make a difference between a generic brand and the quote-unquote name brand.
Yeah.
That way they make it cheaper. In America, it's free market. So anybody can come in and basically inflate the game, basically.
Exactly.
So it's like,
make
if,
money off
it. If I'm Merck and I'm making this faster, man, fuck that shit.
Right.
I don't care if you make a fucking generic brand. I'm not going to lie, you even sell most of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dirty game, man. It's just like the real dope game, man.
Now, real quick, I want to, you know, we were talking about Black Militant a little bit. And a guy that recently a lot of people might consider to be a Black Militant is Kanye West. I don't want to talk about Yeezus just yet. I want to I had a haircut right before I came here, right? And I was talking to my barber, I guess is his name, or hairstylist would be, I guess, the more proper term. His name is Nick, right? And me and Nick were talking, and we brought up that he read that Kanye and Kim's baby, the name of the baby is Northwest, is the name of the kid.
Oh, my God.
Is this news to you, Tyler?
This is news to me.
Have you heard this, Peaches?
Yeah, and then Charlamagne made a good point. People are complaining about the girl being named Northwest. I know a girl named Jafarjean. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least I can spell Northwest.
I know a cute panda.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I mean,
I know a Tylenol.
I can do about it, but my thing is, I'm not going to talk about a child. Like, at this point, that's a child's name. I'm not going to go there.
Like, why is this even news?
That's what I was trying to figure out. To me, though, Northwest is kind of funny because it seems like Kanye's ultimate big dick move. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to name my child Northwest. I mean, if you think of
his first name. That's you plotting out. Like, I have a problem with the way that people, you know, put because like the way people talk about Blue Ivy, at the end of the day, that is a child, and if that was your child, you would be irate.
Blue
like,
Ivy's a tight
okay.
name, though.
Cool, Blue Ivy is a tight name.
But regardless, people just really lost their damn minds. Like, folks are never going to be pissing me off all week.
If
people
they come to Houston, we gonna call her Northwest.
Yeah, North.
I mean, wait, is his first name North?
North.
The last name is West?
Kanye West, Northwest.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, but if you think about it, the options, think about it. You couldn't be West-West, because that's stupid.
Southwest?
You can't Southwest, you sound like an airline.
Yeah. East-West.
You can't be East-West, because that's directionally impossible.
So Northwest.
Northwest is really the only option you had.
I think it worked.
But why choose a direction?
I mean, you already have a last name.
You're going up. I don't know.
Yeah, you're going, technically, you're going, like, that way, but you're going this way. Okay, anyway, but Kanye dropped his album on Tuesday. It's called Yeezus. We had a real extensive talk about it with Young Vaughn on the last episode of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. What were your thoughts pre-Yeezus, and did you hear Yeezus?
I finally really listened to
it. Okay, so what's your feeling pre-Yeezus and post-Yeezus?
Pre-Yeezus, I didn't feel nothing about it. Like, that's Kanye West. I knew that's just the kind of artist he is. He gonna try to push the boundaries. I think, like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm always leery of people who be rapping about, like, political shit.
Yeah.
But you don't really see it represented. I ain't even saying you got to come out and be vocal. I'm saying that you could, in your actions.
Yeah.
Like, for what it's worth, Jay-Z's actions shows that he's kind of, like, on some, you know, like, some humanitarian type shit. When
yeah.
He went to Africa with the water and all that, like,
and
you know.
With Obama kind of yeah. all the time trying to, you know.
Kanye, you know, you come off on some, you really come off like a hoe-ass nigga sometimes, man. Like not hoe-ass, like a bitch-ass nigga. Like
okay,
a,
okay.
Like a whiny nigga. I ain't gonna say he fake or nothing like that, but he come off like a whiny dude.
He's got
like,
some bitch-assness.
Yeah, he does. He definitely, his bitch-ass meter is high.
Yeah. His bitchometer is ridiculous.
Bitchometer.
Hey, Kanye, get your bitchometer down, man. But he's an amazing musician.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like getting Rick Rubin, that's going to always give you just another hint of credibility. I didn't like it on my first listen.
Yeah.
I listened to it again last night, and he's rapping on a whole nother level right now.
You think so?
He ain't never been this good of a rapper.
What do you mean? Oh, so you mean good as a whole yeah. nother level?
Yeah, he been, like, some of his bars on there, something.
There were a couple lines that I was like, okay. Mm. He said something about, she said, can you get my friends in the club? Mm. I said, can you get my Benz in the club? and she goes, well, you could treat your friends like my Benz and leave it parked outside to the end of the event or something like that. Yeah, or it was something like that.
Yeah, he rapping, man. It's just them beats, man. Like,
they're very noisy.
I don't know, man. I don't think I'm going to get into this CD.
Now, I had low expectations for Yeezus. And I got to say, it did exceed my expectations, but not by much. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I had like a 40%, you know, on it, it went to 50. You know what I mean? But I know Peaches had a completely different outlook on Yeezus. Right? Peaches?
I mean, after hearing it, I still mostly about what I said, but some of it I'd be taking back. I think Kanye West is an artist, and at the end of the day, I'm impressed with the album because it doesn't sound like anything else that's out. So,
but is that necessarily make him groundbreaking?
I never said he was groundbreaking.
What'd you just say? My bad.
I said I was impressed with the album
because it
doesn't sound like anything else that is out.
But why is that impressive, I guess, is what I'm asking.
That can't always be a good
thing. Because we live in a day and age where everything sounds like what do you mean? Everybody else, like I said, everybody else spends so much time.
So the fact that it's so different makes it good.
I liked it. I'm not saying whether it's good or bad. Whether I think it's good or bad is intrinsic to me. Like, I don't care how people feel about it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and argue opinion. I quit. Like, I'm really not. If I said it was impressive to me, then that's all that matters to me.
An aggressive black woman.
She's a militant
not,
black
like,
woman.
And her name is Peaches. Stupid. I'm not going to do it.
Can you make sweet tea?
Peach tea?
Can you make sweet tea?
Yes, I can make sweet tea.
Okay.
And I use real lemons.
Let me ask you this. You black?
Am I black?
If I throw it in the air, will it turn into sunshine? Do you know what that means?
You tell me what?
If he throws it in the air, will it turn into sunshine?
My sweet tea?
Have you ever seen Harlem Nights?
Yeah, a long time ago, I don't drink sweet tea.
All right, then it's an irrelevant question.
What does that mean?
It's a very,
that's an Ask Peaches question.
That's an Ask Peaches question?
Nah, I gotta watch Harlem Nights.
Yeah, go on Netflix, watch Harlem Nights.
No, I don't answer questions unless they get my email.
You got some homework to do, Peaches.
Yeah.
No, not in my email.
People who are listening to us, tweet or get on social media. Tell Peaches what if you throw it up in the air, does it shine?
Does it turn
into sunshine?
If you throw it in the air, does it turn into sunshine?
All right, and hashtag the BG show, and we're gonna figure out what that means so we can tell Peaches, and then Peaches can answer.
I'm afraid. Is it something bad? Do I need to be warned?
You need to be warned.
I mean, I got a pass because I'm a rapper, so I got a pass because we expect it to be like.
What that mean? That you just mean that stuff that other people don't.
Yeah, like a regular
does not give you a pass.
Like a regular dude couldn't get away with saying that kind of stuff because I'm a rapper. It's expected, so.
I don't know who told you that or in what world either that works in, but over here with me, it don't function like that.
Sorry, Peaches.
Okay, so real quick, just tell me, did you hear the J. Cole album?
Some of it.
Which one did you like better?
Man, what's the song? I don't know, man. I think I'm leaning towards J. Cole because that's just more the vibe that I'm in.
Yeah.
That song, man, he's singing on the hook.
What is it about? Come on, I'll answer it. I'll figure it out.
I think it's about a female.
Can you hum it?
Me and my... the one Kendrick?
Nope. Not that one. It's by itself.
The one where he's like, I like my Sundays with a cherry on top?
Man, I can't think of that song, man. Fuck. What is he saying?
Let's try to Google it.
I have the album.
Well, look up the album.
Let me see the track list.
Okay, hold on. Let's look this up.
That's what I was going to Google.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
Oh, boom, right here.
Run away.
Run away.
Run away.
Run away. Run away. Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's been on like...
Repeat.
I ain't been able to get to a lot of other tracks because I like it so much.
Did you hear the Let Nas Down song?
Hadn't heard it yet.
Oh, my God. Let Nas Down's ridiculous.
I'm going to play it when I get home, man.
Definitely. Now, let's talk... Before we wrap this up, let's talk a little bit about abortion. Okay? Now, I heard this project. You handed it to me, I think we were at Warehouse Live one time, and I got the physical... And rarely do I ever take the physical copy, put it right in the CD player, thank you, and listen to it. But I listened to it on my way home. I think just because it was called abortion, I was intrigued by it. First off, let's talk about where the title came from.
The title really just came from, I was thinking about it, like, initially I was going to drop a mixtape, I was just killing flows.
Yeah.
And I was going to think of, like, a name that was, besides, like, killing... like abortion. That's
you're aborting it. Okay,
kind of controversial.
I got you.
But I got some production, and I decided to like make a real project out of it instead of it being a mixtape. That's why it ended up being called Abortion, the Project.
Okay.
And the new, like, just to be like, if I wanted to quick, you know what I'm saying, I'd tell them really what it is I feel like the game been raped, the city been raped, culture being raped, and I don't really support abortion unless a woman has been raped.
Yeah.
So this kind of my way of like supporting abortion. That's why like the first words on the first song says that I ain't a baby killer. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. Right off the top, it's no song on there that's about abortion. It's really not even any politically driven songs on there. It's just a song, like a title that I knew was going to kind of catch people's eyes.
Yeah.
And I needed to drop
something. Do you think it put some people off, though?
Yeah, it did. Like, I mean, Peaches told me this herself. I use Peaches for an example. She said she didn't listen to it because of the name of it.
Is that true, Peaches?
Yeah.
But why just because it's called abortion would you not want to listen to it?
If I don't like it, I don't have to. I'm not saying that it's a good thing, but that's just how it was to me. Like,
certain people handed it to me, if I don't like the title, if I don't feel like I'm going to listen to it, I'm not saying that I made a good decision,
but I'm going
to stand by the decision that I made when I made it, because
it's all felt.
And I mean, to me, that's fine. That's the risk I took, you know what I'm saying, calling it something like that.
Yeah.
I could have easily self-titled it.
I was honest with him when I told him that. I told him
face
to face.
I think I was there.
It was at the Jet Lounge.
Yeah, we were at the Jet Lounge.
It was a really weird conversation. I feel like she was coming on to me.
She was coming on to you?
That's how I felt. I'm just playing.
Was I coming on to you, or is that what you wanted to happen? How did that work?
I wanted it to happen, so maybe I just remembered it wrong.
Oh, okay.
All right. But it's all gravy.
So you put that out. It got you a lot of acclaim. A lot of people really picked up on it. Mm-hmm. I know Dana Dream was on there for a while as a premier post. Houston Brett. Real quick, though, before I forget, okay? I woke up one morning, right? Mm-hmm. And I turned on Twitter, and there was a tweet by Robbo. I'm just gonna call you Robbo, and it said Dana Dream called me Houston's angriest rapper. That's borderline disrespectful. What was that about?
He said I was one of the best angry rappers.
Best angry rapper.
And I reread it, I probably took it out of context.
Yeah,
because what he said. The line before, he said something about my ability to make songs.
Yeah.
And also still be one of Houston's best angry rappers. And I saw that. I was like, man, that's some whole shit, man. And I'm one of them artists, man. I'm a talk to the critics, man. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to be the one that's just.
Just let them say it?
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to talk to the critics. Me and Brando done had a couple smaller, like definitely nothing disrespectful exchanges, but shit, that's what it is, man. I make the art, y'all critique it.
What about that though? Did you find disrespectful?
I just was like, damn, man, I'm kind of tired of that rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, if you be around me, that's not the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I'm aggressive. A lot of conversations we have are going to be, I don't want to say deep or whatever, but, you know, me and my friends.
I'm glad he admitted to being aggressive.
Yeah, me and my friend, we don't just sit around and talk about, oh, man, look at this bitch on Instagram. You know, like, I ain't one of them kind of dudes. You know what I'm saying?
I am.
I mean, I'm guilty of being a man. You know what I'm saying? I get real thirsty.
I'm not either. Brad is really bad about that. I hate it.
About what?
Being thirsty?
You bad at? Did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see this?
I'm very thirsty. No.
She's talking about something else. I don't. We're not talking about women. Peaches. Like sometimes I'll send Peaches. Hey, did you see what this happened today? Or did you see this?
You always ask me that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like somehow I be in the know, but I'm not really. Like you don't see me a lot. You know what I'm saying? I be with my kid. I be with my family. I try to make this music, and I just really try to stay out the way because I had a little bad string of luck with the law for a few years. So it was like, I just kind of like, man, let me, before they throw a felony in my life, man, let me, I done made it this far without being a felon, man. So it's like, let me just turn this square well life around, man. And I don't know, man. Like,
so okay, we'll get off that. So we cleared that up. So if Brando, if you were interested in knowing,
it wasn't nothing, man. Like I just
saw that, and I've always wanted to ask about it.
I don't be one man. Like come on, man. Like why y'all got to? Why it just be seeming like when people review my music, like if you look at the Complex list, and I ain't tripping because I understand that's how Shay write, but like everybody else, you know, they got like you know they my cons and pros said that I'm crazy. So I got some interviews.
I mean, but why not embrace that? As an artist, why do you get upset? Like you're leaving yourself up for criticism, and just because you don't agree doesn't mean that's not how somebody else feels, or that they're writing for entertainment, just as you rap for entertainment.
Ooh, good point.
Let's say this: when people don't want to book you for shows because they're concerned that you're crazy.
I get called crazy all the time. I don't take it personal.
I'm saying when people don't want to book you for shows and certain opportunities because they feel like
you're going to show up in a bathroom.
You know what I'm saying? Not even that. I mean,
you're good, you're good. People sit up here and call Kanye West crazy, but if you came to Houston, he still going to sell out. So. But
I'm just saying, like, I'm learning to embrace it. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't feel like I don't sit around like
you don't have to feel that way. It's
on some crazy shit, but
stop taking everything so personal.
I feel like I'm talking to my T-Jones or something.
Right?
Like, I feel like I'm in trouble.
No, I mean, I just, like you say, you're aggressive. You take everything really personal.
I'm an artist, man, like that, but and I'm a cancer, too.
It's about you, but it ain't really about you.
God damn.
She does this to me. She does it to me, and I don't understand
what
this.
What are you supposed to do? Like, you start getting small. I don't feel as aggressive no more, man.
I don't either. She emasculates people all the time.
I definitely feel. I definitely feel a little less
manly, right?
Right now.
No more down here, right?
Yeah. No, she's up here. But see, that's where you take it wrong. Don't feel manly. It's like when y'all get riled up, as a woman, my job is not to rile you up more. My job is to calm you back down and to make you be able to do what you need to do.
But what about this, Peaches?
So again, taking it wrong.
Peaches, sometimes, Peaches, I'm talking over you now, okay? Sometimes, Peaches, we're in a calm state, and the women folk rile us up to begin with. And then you don't calm us back down. You say,
okay,
your mama's
the
a bitch.
You messing with. Again, it's the equivalent of fucking with a real nigga. Like, I ain't got nothing to do with that.
It's the woman.
It's always the woman.
It's always the woman.
The woman is why we had a fall in the first place.
Yep. Woman is why we, yeah, where we are in society.
You can't live with women, but you can't live without them.
Go crazy without them, man.
I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave. Do we have any other cliche statements we want to say?
I don't know. But
anything else?
I'm trying to think.
Honky tonk, badonka donk. Keep in perfect rhythm, make you want to sing along. You got it going on like Donkey Kong. Slap your grandma. Okay.
Word to your mother.
Yeah. You had an abortion the project. Now, I know you said on Twitter that abortion to the project is not going to be the title. But what you have an album coming out? You have another album? Mixtape?
It's not coming out like right now, but we have really finally just started to put like real work in the last 2-3 weeks. I go ahead and tell y'all, man. The title of the CD is The Nosebleed Section.
Okay.
I'm hoping, if all goes well...
Is Brando still there? Tell him, don't be stealing our shine. He can't report it until the show come out on fake Monday morning.
He's not here.
He's not there. Nah, if all goes... Have y'all ever seen V for Vendetta?
Remember
when you say, remember, the 5th of November.
Yeah.
If all goes well, man, I'm going to drop it on November 5th just because I want to use kind of like that.
Remember.
That marketing pitch.
Yeah.
So, if not, it'll probably be out in December, but it's definitely going to be out this year, though. Like, we really, like, I went from, like, 2-3 weeks ago, I had nothing. I got a real skeleton right now. So, it's kind of like...
Getting there.
It's accelerated. I'm going to finally drop some videos from abortion this summer.
There you go.
And that's going to kind of, you know, keep me afloat.
Yeah. I see. Now, I want to say this. You know, I think a lot of people the concert that I introduced you at, I think a lot of people, and I talked to people who left that concert saying, you know what? Rob's the man, and I didn't give him as much respect as I should have.
I was impressed. That was my first time seeing him perform, and I was impressed. I'll say that.
I don't know. It's weird, man, because I know what I could do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I had to, like, tone it down, like, and understand that maybe it's not that they, like, holding me back. They just hadn't listened.
They hadn't heard it yet. Yeah.
And
that could be it. That could be, well, I think more that, people need to realize.
And that's what I, in my honest to God opinion, I don't think people listening.
Yeah.
Like, I tell you, the main difference between me and, like, some of my peers that's ahead of me, it ain't no big rapper that came out and co-signed, like, you know, like Pro, D-Lo, Doe, Les, you know what I'm saying? Maybe Marcus Manchild to a certain extent. They done all kind of got cosigns.
Yeah.
But when you look at like artists who got like certain acclaim and like my resume on par with anybody that's on the underground, you know what I'm saying? But it ain't been nobody that just came out and said it. So, I mean, I'm going to just keep pushing. Hopefully by this next project, we're just going to keep making undeniable music, ultimately. Like, that's the main thing. If I can just, you know, keep making the right kind of songs, just grind right, give some more content.
Yeah.
Like, that's something like Queen Bobby always tell me, that I need to show more of my personality.
I really enjoyed the mic check you did.
Yeah, that was so impromptu.
Yeah. Lil Robbo. Knuckle up, son. Bye, just joking.
That mic check was impromptu. Are you talking about mine or the one at the show?
Yours.
You talking about the one that I did with DJ Dunn?
Both of them, really.
Oh, well, nah, the thing at the show was Dunn was like, see if boys would do it. Man, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Like, son, can we please just do
it? We're wrapping it up now, little man.
Business.
Black Baby Boy, we'll be back.
But nah, that was just real spur of the moment. That wasn't planned or nothing like that. That was just a good moment. Hopefully this edited version will be out soon, so y'all see it.
Oh, and, so yeah, we're gonna see the full thing.
Yeah, we got some behind the scenes footage of the show and shit, man. Like, it's gonna be pretty cool.
We're looking forward to that. Now tell them where they can find you on social media and where they can find your music.
Rob Gallet, you can Google that. That's all B.
You should spell it.
G U. Before I can say
it, let him talk. Let him talk, woman.
G U. You want to spell your last name?
G U L L A T T E.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's Rob Gallet.
You want to spell his last?
You want to spell his first name?
R O B E R T.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, nah. You can look it up on the.
You're no longer
Gallet.
Black Baby Boy. You're Robert Goulet.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
I got it. All right.
Twitter, Rob Gallet. Instagram, Gallet. Rob Gallet. Facebook, depending on who you are, I might add you. Gallet. I don't trust everybody on Facebook, Gallet. Man.
I'm done with Facebook.
Do you follow me on Instagram?
I do. Do you follow me? Sometimes I just like I thirst over your photos.
Instagram has video now.
15 seconds.
You have one.
Yeah, I got an Instagram. I live a boring life though. So
you said you were born white.
I live a boring life. I wish I was born white. Shit,
it's so much easier.
Hell yeah, man. My name could have been Clark or something,
or it could have been Robert.
Yeah, Robert's a common name.
Robert's a good one. All right, well, this has been the sixth edition of the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand. We want to thank the first-time Brad Gilmore Show guest, Rob Gallet. He's going to be back whenever the nosebleed section drops. We're going to talk all about that.
Yes.
And we appreciate you coming on, man.
Man, I appreciate y'all for having me, man. It's definitely fun experience.
See, next time I'll be there so he can sit on the couch next to me. He didn't even get the couch treatment, Brad.
What that mean? I'm going to get a body massage?
No.
Damn.
If you're lucky,
we might. See how you went way too far, way too fast. See how that just works? Come back.
Man, I'm sorry.
Peaches. All right, say bye to Rob.
Bye, Rob.
All right, say bye, world.
Bye.
Bye.
Tune in next Monday for the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand. All right, everybody, peace.